This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's the biggest matchup of the week. It's Michigan versus the Big Ten. The commissioner of the Big Ten. I'm not sure what the point spread is right now or the over-under. We'll explore that a little bit further. It feels like there's going to be an unveiling today of sorts, but Michigan is going to put up a fight. And the question is, what kind of punishment, if any punishment, is handed out as early as today? 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock, thank you, and our radio affiliates around the country, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. Eli Manning will stop by a little bit later on. The great college football voice, Rick Neuheisel, former college football coach, will give us his thoughts on what should and what will happen with Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. Keep in mind, Rick said 2 weeks ago he thinks by next year Jim Harbaugh is back in the NFL. So Michigan and the Big Ten go back and forth on possible punishments here, and ESPN has been all over this story. Any potential discipline from the commissioner is not expected until today. It's unknown as of now whether the potential penalties could be a suspension, a fine, or both, neither. And the focus would be on Jim Harbaugh and not the players themselves. This is according to ESPN. Michigan has responded in a big way. They sent out a 10-page response to the conference, and it was focused on urging the commissioner to respect due process and argued that a sanction at this stage would be breaking the league's bylaws and an effort to lay the groundwork for potential legal intervention if Jim Harbaugh is suspended this week. Once again, the best matchup of the week is the Big Ten versus Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. But you got everybody in here. House of Representatives are in this. You got all, everybody's on board with this. And I think if it's above and beyond what Michigan would expect, then there'll be a temporary injunction. I mean, they're going to make sure that this isn't heard, settled, decided until in the offseason, that Michigan would still be able to go full speed ahead and play maybe for a national championship. They got Penn State coming up this weekend, and then Maryland, and then Ohio State. Dun, dun. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Thank you for going to danpatrick.com, signing up for the newsletter, because Dan's deals are back starting next week. We have your holiday shopping taken care of. We hooked you up for Mother's Day, and you took us up on these incredible offers. We're going to do it again for the holidays. You have to sign up at danpatrick.com. Just put your email address in the box that slides out bottom right corner, and you're good to go. This first hour brought to you by Kings Hawaiian. Make Sunday a slider Sunday. And if you need recipe inspiration, kingshawaiian.com. Thursday night football. Ish.
Let's go.
Ish. Panthers getting 3 against the Bears. If you're a Bears fan, what do you want to happen tonight? Paulie, you're a Bears fan. What would be the ideal situation for the Bears?
So right now, from the NFL draft standpoint, the Chicago Bears had the second pick of the draft, and that's Carolina's. Okay. They also have the third pick of the draft, which is theirs. So if Chicago wins tonight, their draft pick will go from the third pick of the draft to the sixth pick of the draft. Okay. If they lose tonight, Carolina's pick goes to four.
Okay.
It actually stays. So the Bears, from a draft pick standpoint, would prefer the Carolina Panthers to win tonight. It keeps them higher in the draft.
Mm.
The Bears winning is bad for the Bears. And they're good at not being winning.
They're good at not being good.
Yes.
That's coming up tonight. Panthers at the Bears. And the line 3 or 3.5, according to DraftKings. The 76ers, I watched that last night with the Celtics. They won 6 in a row. The Clippers have lost 3 straight. The Nuggets, 8-1. They won last night against Golden State. The Lakers, if you tune in the first quarter to watch the Lakers play, you're going to be disappointed. Guaranteed. They've been outscored by 74 points in the first quarter so far this season. They've played 8 games. 6 of the 8 games, they've trailed by double digits after the first quarter.
Stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
3-point shooting not good. Anthony Davis out again. They got roughed up by the Houston Rockets. There was a stare-down moment last night. Dylan Brooks is staring at LeBron James. It was like a stoppage in play, and Dylan Brooks is just staring. He's like 3 feet apart from LeBron. He's just staring at him, and LeBron's staring right back at him. These things are always silly. They are. And then the Lakers complained to the NBA and said, hey, LeBron's not being officiated properly, and he's not getting the calls that he normally gets. Now, there are other marquee players who are not getting calls, and it's at a larger rate than he is. Luka, Giannis. LeBron, and the number of calls that he's supposedly not getting is like 0.2%. I mean, it's really, really, really small. Small margin here. But sent the videotape in. The NBA looked at, I guess, the finish of one of the games, whether it was Orlando or Miami, and said, no, the calls were correct. But do you do this? We're 8 games in. You're 20 years in. I just felt like, nah, I don't think we. And then I'm looking at the numbers, and I'm going, wait, Giannis and Luka can complain. LeBron can't. He's still getting the similar number of calls here. Yes, Marv.
You're supposed to do the Phil Jackson thing. You complained about this during playoff time. After like a game 3, you're like, man, MJ really wasn't getting those calls like he was supposed to, guys. Come on, Dick Pavetta.
Yes, Fritzy.
It's whiny. You got to pick your spots, because I guess what they're trying to do is lay the groundwork. We've been complaining about this since 8 games in and still going on all the way to the playoffs.
Yeah. I guess some of the missed calls, according to the Lakers and LeBron, they said numerous missed calls in the Miami Heat game. The Lakers cited multiple clips from the game demonstrating that they contend it's clear illegal contact against LeBron James that wasn't called. You know, LeBron had talked about it being almost a conspiracy theory last year about this, that somehow the league would want to penalize the biggest name and biggest brand in the NBA, the Lakers and LeBron. I'm thinking, I don't think you want to keep them out of a playoff picture, do anything to the detriment of the Lakers. At least you're going out and doing something in a way that is unfair to the Lakers, treating them unfairly. Feels like you would probably give preferential treatment than you would the other way. Yes, Seton.
Maybe is this the first sign that LeBron is no longer LeBron? He's not getting the calls. He used to get that treatment, but aging LeBron now, he's finally crossed that line where he doesn't get that treatment. He's not the brand.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, how many times you watch an NBA game and somebody's complaining about the call? Either a call or a no call. It's just about every play. Like, what? Me? Huh? I didn't know. It's either offense or defense that's complaining about it. For decades, this is what's happened and continues to happen. And the star players, they're the ones. The guy who's a scrub should be complaining when he doesn't get a call. You know, Michael and Magic and Larry and those guys got calls. They got preferential treatment. And LeBron is hard to officiate. I mean, just as physical, it's like Shaq. I think Shaq got fouled every single time down the floor. Now, he's so big, you could try to foul him, but it wouldn't, you know, alter what he was trying to do. And LeBron, when he goes to the hoop, when he drives, you're not going to stop him. And, you know, you have to use some force there or foul. But I mean, we're 8 games in, and you're complaining about how LeBron's officiated. Sounded just a little desperate there. Watching a little bit of the Spurs last night, and that's all we saw last night was just a little bit of the Spurs and Victor Wembanyama. He scored as many points as I did in the first half. He finished with 14-9 and didn't have his first basket till the third quarter. You're at the Garden, and, you know, if you look down through history, when players play in New York, they're playing at the Garden. They're not facing the Knicks. It's he did it at the Garden. He didn't do it against the Knicks. It was Michael had a double nickel at the Garden. You know, Kobe put up 61 at the Garden. That's the, you know, when Steph Curry went off the first time, I think he had 54 in a game. That was at the Garden, not against the Knicks, at the Garden. And if you haven't been in the building, it's the most famous arena in America. From the outside, you go, all right, it looks majestic. You're right there. It's a city block, and the Garden. I remember the first time I went in, and I went, wait, this is it? Okay. But the atmosphere, that's what changed everything. Once those Knicks fans got in there, and I remember seeing a Celtics-Knicks game with Larry Bird, Bernard King, and then I realized the atmosphere, like the Garden. It, you know, structurally, it's like the first time I went to Notre Dame. Now, this is before they did the renovation. I went, wait, this is it? What? There's no Jumbotron. Wait, where's my suite? okay, there's Touchdown Jesus, but... And even when they did the renovation, like, you grow up and you go, oh, my God. First time I went to the Boston Garden, I went, what a dump.
Dude, when Rudy's dad got off the bus, he said, this is the finest sight these eyes have ever seen. What are you talking about?
Well, that was just an emotional viewpoint.
What?
It wasn't a correct viewpoint. It was just emotional.
Yeah, that's why you go to Notre Dame, because it's emotional. You're not like, oh, Touchdown Jesus. You're like, oh, my God. It's Touchdown Jesus. Look at where we are right now.
Did you try to go to Notre Dame?
To school?
Yeah.
Like for classes? No. No, not even close.
I didn't know, you know, you had a reach school. You know, we have those schools that are reach.
West Virginia was his reach school.
Yeah, no, I think really probably my reach school was Seton Hall, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Paulie.
But there's no emotion. You go to SoFi Stadium, like, you appreciate it. Oh, it's new. There's glass. There's everywhere. I remember the first time I went to the Madison Square Garden, it was to see Patrick Ewing in year 2 versus like Karl Malone. I was like, this feels awesome. It felt like a big game. And you walk in from the street, you're like, I recognize that sign from all the movies and TV shows. You feel like you're at a not an event, but like a place of history, like going to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I don't think it's the first time I went to Wrigley, first time I went to Fenway. Now, those were different. When I walked into Fenway the first time, I went, God, that left field wall is really close. But it was beautiful, but it was antiquated. The seats really tight, you know, built in 1912. But when you go in and you're inside Fenway, it was spectacular. Wrigley, without the ivy, you go, eh. And then the ivy comes in, you go, okay. I mean, you had that old scoreboard there. There's just certain places. Now, I don't have special memories at Wrigley. But I know it's a special place. And I think that's what's different with the Garden, whether it's Boston Garden or Madison Square Garden. All those great memories, all those moments that happened there. Yes, Eden?
Yeah, I kind of feel like when you can remove the emotion from it, Madison Square Garden is a great place because you were told it was. Wrigley Field, that's a great place because I was told it was. But standing there, you're kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was shocked with the Boston Garden because growing up, the way this is before they used to light the fans in the stands. So it was almost like it was a play.
Yeah.
It was a Broadway show where the game was featured and that was lit. Everything else was dark.
You're like, what's going on in the crowd there?
Yeah. Now And when I went there and I thought, God, this, look at that floor. Man, I'd love to have that in my house. And then you look at it and you go, I don't want that in my house. And it was just really antiquated. I remember going into the locker room after the Lakers won the championship. And I thought, this is the garden? My high school shower locker room area was better than the visiting. Now, granted, Red Auerbach, I don't think wanted to have running water, hot water in there. They had hooks. They didn't have lockers. I thought, all right, I get the home court advantage here. But I went in there thinking I was going to smell cigar smoke and it was going to be this beautiful finished floor. And you look at it, there were big gaps in it. Now, it was still charming. And then I thought, you know what, let me take a jumper here just to say I took a jumper there. And because I grew up and the Great Western Forum, same thing where you're like, okay.
I like that. I didn't expect, sometimes we take turns, twists and turns. I didn't expect us crapping on holy lands of U.S. sports in the first segment. I didn't see that coming, but I'm glad that we got here.
Seton, it's scripted right in front of you.
Oh, that's, yeah. That was my next line, or did I jump lines?
Yeah. Now, there's one more line, and then you say that. Yes, Paul.
I remember the first time I went to a couple places in Los Angeles, the L.A. Coliseum, the Rose Bowl, and they're very antiquated. There's like food trucks outside. There's not a lot of facilities. You're sitting on concrete, but I loved it. The first time I went to a Dodger game, I think was in the late 90s, and it's just like you see on TV. It's just glistening. The sun is coming in. Those nice green hills in the background and the old scoreboards and the players in the white. There's some stadiums that I don't want to develop and have modern amenities.
Dodger Stadium lived up to it.
Yep.
That was gorgeous. Coliseum, not good, but historical.
Historical good.
Yes. The Rose Bowl, I love that venue. But it's weird, like you're going to, through this neighborhood, boom, there's the Rose Bowl down the hill. And I'm like, okay. Yes, Eden.
There are some places that when you get there, you step back in time. Like the Coliseum, for me, you're like, what was this born? It was born, built in the 20s. You're like, holy crap, this is like, you just stepped back 100 years. There's other places where you just step back into bad times in architecture. You're like, oh, well, they probably could tear this place down and put up something better.
Yeah.
And that might be Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Back to Madison Square Garden. It is a wonderful venue to go into. Just if the Knicks got good again and you could hear that defense, and it was wonderful. It was spectacular. Like you really felt a building. And I still remember that when you heard that, because the games mattered, the Celtics were in town. Bernard King was going toe-to-toe with Larry Bird. Yes, Eden.
Going to Big East basketball games in the Garden, the Big East tournament that's some of the best sporting environments you can get to, especially back in the day when it would be Georgetown, Syracuse, and you had just titans of the game.
Yeah, St. John's and Villanova.
Absolutely.
All good stuff. Yes, Todd?
But the Garden, even if you're not a huge hockey fan, if you go to a Stanley Cup playoff game and you hear that Let's Go Rangers in the Garden on top of what the Knicks get, that's a pretty big stuff in there.
First professional hockey game, Islanders-Rangers. They scored Ken Morrow scored the goal at the Garden. And I was like, wow, this is exciting. And my producer at the time, Artie Burko, goes, not every hockey game is like this, just letting you know. I go, okay, yeah, Paul.
About a decade ago, Seton and I went to Notre Dame, Michigan at Michigan.
Big house.
And I'd never been there, but I've always seen their games on TV, and the place looks just gigantic. But when we were walking in from the street, the stadium's kind of recessed into the ground. It doesn't look that big and grand from the outside. You're like, that's it? It's not that high, like LSU and other places. And then you walk in, and it's just this mass in every direction, people everywhere.
100,000 people there. All right, so we're awaiting whatever the Big Ten is going to announce with Michigan, if there's any ruling today, how Michigan counters that. But we'll talk to Rick Neuheisel. What will happen, what should happen, and does he still believe that Jim Harbaugh will be in the NFL next season? Your phone calls are welcome. Operator Tyler is standing by, 877-3DP-SHOW. We got a play of the day poll question, stat of the day, all of that coming up. Eli Manning a little bit later on as well. We're back after this. Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.
And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's Mike Carmen. I'm Dan Byard. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
During the commercial break, I walked out to the basketball floor. I walked back to see the big German. I walked outside. Todd following me the whole time.
Like a little puppy. I don't know why.
And I go, what? And he goes, have you ever been to the sports arena?
LA Sports Arena, where the Clippers used to play.
I said, yes.
The big dump.
It was not. That's what it was known as. The big
joint.
Dump.
They called it the clip joint, but it was the dump.
Welcome to the big dump.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
They used to promote the other team. All the newspaper articles and everything was come to the clip joint to see this guy from this team, this guy from the other team, this star from the other team.
Yeah. Is there a bad stadium that still exists? A bad arena where you go, I don't want to go there. Trying to think if anything really comes to mind. And while I'm critical of the Boston Garden, the way it looked, but it was still a majestic building. It was still a piece of history that you're walking into. You're walking into a time warp. But if you went there for the amenities, you were greatly disappointed. Yes, Seton.
I think that there are a ton of average sports venues where they're like kind of generic plug and play, could be any city in America. There, it takes something to be either truly great or truly terrible, has to be pretty special.
Because if your team is good, the building still has some kind of meaning to you that you'll put up with. These seats are really uncomfortable. Like Fenway, you would go in and you could have an obstructed view seat. And the seats were really small because people back in 1912 were a little bit smaller than us.
Fenway's awesome, though. What a place.
Everybody.
It's great.
Everybody should see a game in there.
Definitely.
Yes. It's worth it. Because you walk in and you see that left field and you go, damn, that monster is really close. It strikes you as a wiffle ball place where you go, man, this would be great to play wiffle ball on that wall.
Yeah,
Paul.
When I moved to New York in the late 90s, all I heard was Shea Stadium's awful. Don't go to a Mets game. It's awful. It's a bad experience. Hard to get to. Bad food, everything. There's planes flying over. I think I had been told so many times it was awful. I got there, I'm like, this is all right. It seemed okay to me. It didn't seem bad. I guess it didn't have the amenities, but as long as you got beer, hot dogs, and a view.
I thought it was terrible.
It was a dump.
I'm not sure why.
There was no atmosphere there. And there are planes going by. It wasn't, there was no magic there. There was no, like, wow.
Except for the Apple.
Yeah, the Apple when somebody hits a home run. Like, yeah, the Big Apple, okay. Yankee Stadium, you walked in and you go, all right. I mean, it wasn't pristine, but it was still Yankee Stadium.
And Ruth played there.
Yes. Yeah. Even walking down into the dugout, and you're going, you know, Babe used to be in here. And, you know, so Babe and probably some Babes used to be in there, knowing Babe. Yes.
It was one of the first things my father-in-law said to me as soon as the new Yankee Stadium opened.
Mm-hmm.
Babe Ruth never played there. I was like, oh, damn, I wonder if the Yankees realize what they just gave up. Nah, it doesn't look that great to me. Babe Ruth never played there.
All right, we're waiting word from the Big Ten and then how Michigan responds. Is Jim Harbaugh going to be on the sidelines this weekend? Does any of this punishment matter, or the rumors of it, or the possibility? I think it's all, if it happens, it happens in the offseason. But let's bring in Rick Neuheiser, our good buddy, CBS Sports college football analyst, former college coach at UW, also Colorado and UCLA. All right, Rick, what do you think should happen to Jim Harbaugh and Michigan?
I just put this under the category of overzealous, the Wizard of Oz, right? This is, you got a guy by the name of Connor Stallions, who's just super fan, wants to impress the head coach, and finds ways to get all kinds of intelligence. The head coach goes, wait a minute, you really can get that stuff? And proves to be very accurate information, and you end up hiring him. And the guy went way over his skis and obviously didn't do a very good job of hiding his trail as we're uncovering more and more of this. Yeah, this is just overzealousness 101.
What will happen, do you think?
Well, you've got a bunch of angry coaches. You got an angry mob right now knocking at the door. And, you know, Tony Petitti's in a bind because he's got to prove to these guys that he's going to try to find some measure of justice. And Michigan's going to just lawyer up. This is going to get pushed to the after the season because of all the legal machinations. And, I would guess that Jim Harbaugh will be looking for a work in the NFL.
And you talked about that a couple of weeks. That's what you thought would maybe be the end result here. But also, you were coaching, what, three different programs? And did you ever have anybody who would have gone rogue on you and gathered information that you didn't know about to maybe help your assistant coaches?
Not that I'm aware of. Now, listen, we all, I know there's some pushback now by Michigan that coaches are, you know, conspiring and getting information against Michigan. You'd always get on the phone and ask somebody who's a friend in the business if they just played somebody, give me, you know, your tells, right? If you're going into a poker game, you want to know what people's tells are. That happens all the time. But to go to the level that Connor Stallions has apparently gone to, I've never been aware of anything like that.
Did you ever get signals? Did you ever get information like that from another coach sharing information like Rutgers, Purdue, and Ohio State are accused of doing?
The signals that you would always try to get from opponents is personnel groups. Defensive coordinators are hell-bent to find out what personnel is going into the game, especially with this advent of up-tempo stuff. So if you're changing personnel and you're going from 11 personnel, which means one back and one tight end in the game, and you're going to now 10 personnel, taking the tight end out and adding a wide receiver, the coordinator, the defensive coordinator, the play caller wants to know that information so that he can give a call that's more in touch with all the data that you have when they're in 10. So you're always looking to see what signals are going in to communicate that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out the role. Like, did Ohio State, Rutgers, and Purdue, what they're accused of, is that illegal?
No, what I think they're getting are the are personnel groupings. I think they're just getting personnel grouping signals. I don't think they have the wherewithal to figure out what the play call is. I really don't. What Connor Stallions was doing was taking it to the nth degree and knowing everything there was to know about the stuff, and at least allegedly. And coordinators, it's all the video shows him standing next to the coordinators are waiting for him to say run, pass, and what kind of run and pass. And that's a huge advantage.
I'm just trying to understand this, though, Rick. If I had somebody on my staff who was going to other games, getting information, who's he giving the information to? And how does Jim Harbaugh not know that somebody on his staff is going to scout in advance, maybe be in disguise, and giving that information to one of his assistant coaches?
I think that Jim did know. I think it's implausible for him not to know that this guy has some real information and some important data that can be really useful to the coordinators in their play calls. And, you know, the fact that he was out there doing all that, I don't think Jim wanted to know how he was doing it, but he was certainly, it was useful information, which is why the guy went from super fan to an employee.
Talking to Rick Neuheisel, CBS Sports college football analyst, former college head coach at Washington, UCLA, and Colorado. What is the policy etiquette of ratting out a program? Like, if you got information, you know, would you share that with somebody, a reporter or the NCAA, if you knew that they were up to something nefarious?
I think what we all would like to say we would do is go straight to the source, which is mean if you had a suspicion that Jim Harbaugh was doing something, you'd go straight to Jim Harbaugh. I know he did that to me. He thought I was involved with a recruit at a time where I couldn't be on in phone conversation with him, or I couldn't call the recruit. And he called me out and accused me of it. I said, Jim, absolutely not. The kid called me. It was a kid out of Stockton by the name of Philip Rule, a kind of walk-on fullback that, you know, walk-ons couldn't get into Stanford. So this was a unique guy for him.
Wait, so Harbaugh really calls you and says,
oh, yeah, he called me every name in the book saying I was cheating. And I said, you're absolutely out of your mind. I am not. I've got all the phone records. You can see that Phil Rule called me wanting to come to UCLA. But we had it out on the phone. There was nothing going back. Give and take. What's amazing, Dan, this guy went to the lengths of bringing all this data. We were back in the Pac-10 at the time, and wanted Pete Carroll to stop having the use of all the Pac-12 officials at his practice. He said he only had a budget for, you know, three or four practices a year where the Pac-12 officials, Pac-10 officials at the time, would come to his practice. And Pete was having them every day. He could afford to have them every day. And he was going to get this, you know, great favoritism from the officials because he was going to create these relationships. And then Pete raised his hand and said, I was the most penalized team in the league. And everybody started laughing. Everybody started laughing. And Jim got so angry, he said, it's the principle of the thing. And it was just like one of these things.
But that's what I'm wondering. His dad was a legendary coach, by the book coach. Like, that's the thing I keep coming back to with Harbaugh. Would he have done this and maybe embarrassed his dad in the process?
I guess the ends justify the means, but this is wildly embarrassing. Wildly embarrassing because this is a team that frankly doesn't need it. This team is really good, what he's got. As a matter of fact, he couldn't stop but tell me in Indianapolis at the Big Ten Media Days that this is good. This team's going to break the record of Georgia's most draft choices going to the NFL. He thinks it's going to be somewhere in the 18 to 20 number.
Would you rather know what Harbaugh knew or who's the one that started the investigation?
This is the Johnny Cochran. I mean, he's just if the glove doesn't fit, right? You've got a jury looking at something that doesn't have anything to do with this. The bottom line is Connor Stallions was too obvious.
But somebody had it out for Harbaugh.
Oh yeah. That line's a long line.
Just to put you on record, you had nothing to do with this?
I had nothing to do with it.
I just want to make sure. Yeah. No, you had no knowledge of it. But somebody.
Absolutely not.
Somebody gift wrapped this to the NCAA.
Oh, without question. without question.
Why?
And obviously they got wind of it. Somehow, some way, there was a tip that this somebody was doing this.
Yeah, but teams don't turn in other teams, though, because everybody's cheating, Rick, aren't they?
No, not everybody at this level. And I'll draw a line there. Everybody's trying to get information, trying to get tells. And if you got a buddy that knows something, you're going to ask what you know. But no one's going to the lengths that Connor Stallion went. And now finding out that Connor Stallions went from, you know, the Wizard of Oz overzealous to an employee. Now you're substantiating his work, and there's where you've got an issue.
Great.
But it writes his own song. I mean, this is going to be a song, Dan, and I'll come back and perform it here at some point.
What's it going to be called?
Oh, Santa, oh no, Jimmy's got you in a bind. Are you blind? Connor Stallion's trail, not hard to find. Santa, oh no, just play the game of legalese. Bump, bump, bump. Oh, yeah, it's going to write itself.
Thank you, buddy. Good to talk
to you
again.
All right, my friend.
he was ready for that. I was just asking the title of the song. But Neuheisel, who's given us many, many songs, Born in the SEC, I think might have been the first one.
Legendary.
But interesting, though, his take that Harbaugh called him when Harbaugh was at Stanford and Rick was recruiting somebody that Stanford was recruiting, and he thought that Jim thought that Rick did something illegal and then called him up, and Neuheisel said, I didn't call the recruit, he called me, and the fact that Jim would call him on that. That's why I keep coming back to this, that if you're Michigan, you don't have to do this. It's like the Houston Astros. Everybody says, you know, hey, they're not cheating now. You didn't have to cheat back then. You were that good. I don't, you know, Jim's dad, I keep coming back. When I met him the first time, his father, legendary college coach, and I just think, like, the integrity of that relationship and the family and coaching and what it means and the importance, would he do knowingly do something that was breaking the rules? Yeah, Paul.
You know, the investigation could show that it never got up to him. He just saw the product of what this guy was doing rogue. But the Big Ten may say that your team still benefited from illegal sign stealing, where you go in person to another stadium. They may say you knowing or not knowing is irrelevant to the benefit for the program that you got.
Okay, but also help me understand this. If he's guilty of something, suspended, then are you taking away victories? So maybe he doesn't coach two
games.
Now,
that's the NCAA, not the Big Ten.
But that's also, if you cheated, you're guilty of cheating, we're going to punish you for cheating, then I have to take away the wins that you had because cheating helped you get those wins?
The NCAA is three levels of infraction, 1, 2, and 3. One's the strongest. One is where you could lose titles, you could lose history. Like Michigan basketball was stripped of things.
Yeah.
And that's a level one infraction. A level three infraction could be as simple as like a fine or a sit down for a week, or where it doesn't rise to the level of losing scholarships or losing bowl appearances. So
according to ESPN, there's no indication of any timetable on a decision on potential Big Ten discipline in the case of Michigan's alleged illegal sign stealing. We'll take a break. Our play of the day is up next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Oh, my God.
The play, the play of the day.
Better lives, I got it!
Check this out.
8 to shoot. They guarded Joel. One-on-one with Tatum. The left of the key. 4 to shoot. Backing, turning, fadeaway from the wing is good. What a shot. The touch by Embiid. He's talking smack to Sam Cassell. Cassell now on the Celtics bench. Take that, Sammy.
That's your play of the day. That's courtesy of the Sixers Radio Network. Joel Embiid, 27-10. He has played 401 regular season games in his career. That's the 263rd time that he's had a double-double. Only two active NBA players have had more double-doubles in their first 400 games. Let's go around the room and see if we can guess. Active players, double-doubles in their first 400 games. One had 291 double-doubles, the other one 277. Todd, I'll start with you.
Will Chamberlain.
Active, Todd.
Bill Russell. Active. I'm kidding.
Not even active, no. Not even alive.
LeBron James.
No. Marvin?
I'm not going to cheat this time. I know the answer.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Okay.
That kind of ruins the bit.
Yeah. Marvin, okay. You're excluded, Seton.
How about Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant, no. Paulie?
Luka?
No. I don't know if Luka, has he played 400 career games? Okay.
Anthony Davis.
No. I don't think he's played 400 career games.
Oh, yeah, 400 games.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook.
Okay. Both players, their first initial is K. Does that help anybody? Both did it for the same franchise.
Chris, you want to guess some old guy again?
Carl Anthony Towns.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
And
Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Bloop, bloop.
Cabron Kane.
Kevin Love active.
Cabron James.
Yes. Is Kevin Love still playing?
I don't know who he's playing for. Is he still in Cleveland?
Want to play the guess where Kevin Love's playing game?
He looks like he's old as me. Is he Cleveland, Marvin?
I think he's on the Heat roster.
He is a Heat. He's played. He started three games this year.
No, he hasn't.
Come on, I'm not making that up. I would never besmirch Kevin Love. He's averaging. He's averaging 8-8.
Okay. Well, that's not quite a double double.
No, it's a double single.
Yeah. Coming up, we'll play Guess That Punishment with Michigan. Okay. It's a new segment. It's called Guess That Punishment. A couple of phone calls. Dave in Columbus. Good morning, Dave. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, DP. Hey, by the way, king of morning talk show, you are.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you, Dave.
Yes, sir. I'm an older man. I've been watching sports for over 55 years. And I'm here to tell you, the people behind this idea of Harbaugh, getting anything done this week, this month, this year, is their pipe dream. It's not going to happen. Too much money riding on the people's pockets that are in place to receive those profits, in my opinion.
Well, the Big Ten doesn't want to discipline Jim Harbaugh, but they also want to make sure that they're appeasing the other teams, the other fan bases, the other coaches in the Big Ten. And how do you do both? Do we sort of punish you, but we don't take you out of the national title picture? Do we wait until the end of the season, and then we deal with this? Because, you know, now these coaches are going, and athletic directors are going, wait a minute here. And then the next time there's a controversy, does somebody bring up, well, you didn't do anything to Jim Harbaugh in Michigan? Imagine you just got on the job as the commissioner of the Big Ten, and here you go. Here's this investigation. And now all of a sudden, you got to act in real time. What do you do? And then what's Michigan do to counteract that? Let's see. Caleb in Ohio. Hi, Caleb. What's on your mind today? Caleb? Caleb?
I'm here.
What are you doing? Are you mountain climbing?
No, I'm working on a solar field.
Okay. Should I call you back later, Caleb? All right. Well, we'll try him a little later on.
You know, those things don't just go up themselves.
No, they don't.
Yeah, no. Okay. I'm actually at work right now.
Yeah.
Dan.
I'm sorry.
Right, so,
Caleb, I didn't mean to interrupt your job.
Let a brother work.
I know. My bad. My bad. Robbie in Utah. Hey, Rob. What's on your mind?
Good morning, DP guys. Hey, 220-44. Guys, I got one statement and one comment. One, you guys are changing the world. My wife is in Ireland right now for work, and I'm flying in on Friday to go see her. She calls me Monday morning, or it would be Monday morning, and she's like, oh, my gosh, I watched Dan Patrick, the Raiders won. She's not a sports fan. Can I believe that she watches you guys while she travels? When Aaron Rodgers got injured, she calls me and she's like, oh, I heard on Dan Patrick. I'm like, wow, you listen to Dan Patrick when you travel? Second, what's the norms in Ireland? What, like, she says that you don't tip over there. She doesn't trust me driving. And what's the best food to eat?
The food is better than advertised. Good seafood over there. And I would tip. They may not do it, but I did. You know, you just want to make sure you're not an ugly American, like, going over there and not. And just even ask. You know, what's a normal tip? Ask somebody if you're at a restaurant or at a bar. Just say, what is normal here? What is respectful here? But not every place in the world, you know, you tip. But, you know, over there, we did. Well, we needed to. At least I think we did when we left the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I left Seton with the bill one night, a check one night. Like, I forgot to pay. Didn't your friend say, they'd left you with the bill? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the bartender was like, so Will Farrell and Dan Patrick made you pay. Okay. Okay.
Oops. Mike Breen, the voice of the NBA. Join us coming up. Eli Manning as well.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.